I mean, this guy was literally tricked. He didn't do anything until, you know, somebody duped him into downloading a fake piece of software, and that's where he got hit.
Treat your information and your wealth as though it's worth 20 times, 100 times more than it is, because someday it will be. You are totally at risk if you are making a digital copy of your seed phrase. My advice is, you know, go into a room that you know you will not be recorded.
People tell me, oh man, you're over the top. I'm like, I don't think I'm over the top enough. Because once you understand what it is that, you know, you're trying to protect here, especially for your kids, you'll be upgrading things every 5 minutes if you could. I mean, at least that's my mindset.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Greer with me, and today we're not doing the news. We're going to talk about a specific situation, an unfortunate scenario that played out a couple weeks ago, and specifically draw attention to the importance of proper personal cybersecurity hygiene, as well as proper self-custody of your Bitcoin. I think this is a lesson you need to stick around and hear about. So I'll give you the long story short. Is there's a Bitcoiner who came out and explained that he'd lost all of his Bitcoin. He'd had it stolen from him. We hear about this a lot, and it's unfortunate, but it emphasizes the importance of proper self-custody. And what happened, I'll give you sort of the beginning of what happened first, and we'll talk about that, is a completely different person had their verified X account hacked. And the hacker used that X account to reach out to this victim and request that he join this hacker's podcast, which obviously was fraudulent and fake. And he sent him a link to a podcasting platform and said, hey, download the desktop version of this application because there are some advanced features I want to use. So it all seemed very plausible, made sense. This guy was just trying to be helpful, go along, join this podcast. He clicked this link, and it turned out to take him to a lookalike site that the hacker had spun up and installed malware on his machine. And we'll get to how the actual breach of the seed phrase happened here in a minute. But Tony, this is a story we hear about a lot, not just in Bitcoin, but just broadly in the news. Why don't you sort of go through some of the mistakes here and what it is that people need to think about in terms of protecting themselves from these threats?
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, I wouldn't label them as mistakes because the victim didn't do anything like technically wrong. He was targeted and he was attacked. And, you know, unfortunately, just lack of attention, you know, resulted in what it did. The issue is most folks don't come from a tech background. I mean, most folks use a computer, you know, casually. You know, they buy it because whatever, they like the way it looks, has some funky lights, you know, they open it, they fool around with it, play a few games on it, something goes wrong, they yank the power cord, you know, auto reboot, that's the fix to every single problem, right? So that's a real understanding of what it is that they're using, and that's been fine for, you know, for many years. Up until 2008, where now all of a sudden that computer is no longer just a computer. It's actually, you know, like a device that you can use to hold extremely sensitive information, and more specifically now, something around your money, which is Bitcoin. And so that comes with its own set of skills, right? The seed phrase, you know, what to do, what not to do. And some of the very basics are still very foreign to most folks. Like, for example, like, I mean, I still hear stories of people taking, a picture of their words and keeping it on their phone because it's just, you know, I don't want to lose it. It's on my cloud. It's cool. It's safe and all that. It's not. And starting to make more people pay more attention to why this is not the right way to proceed. I mean, things on a cloud essentially means it's somebody else's computer. And so, if you have access to it, chances are that they also have access to it, unless you know for a fact that they don't. But that's a whole different conversation of verifying the code, open source, and all that stuff. But generally speaking, most people don't do that. And most people don't use platforms that are, you know, vetted for these things. So just a flippant way of doing things like they've always been doing it until you unfortunately hear a story like this one, where somebody actually goes through a real loss, which was, in his case, his entire life savings. It's very heartbreaking to hear, okay? But I mean, now more so than ever, that we have an alternative form of money that, you know, no one can control, that's censorship resistant and all that. Well, we need to focus on how to use it properly. And that's going to, like, force people to upgrade their, first of all, their attention skills and their approach to using a computer in general. Like, you can't be flippant about this anymore. The device that you're using, you guard it with your life, because it's essentially the vault to your generational wealth. It's the mechanism that you're using to be your own bank, to be your own head of security. And so you don't need to be a cybersecurity expert, but there is a minimum level of understanding and know-how that's going to be required. Like, think of it as an extra, as a new skill that you're going to have to learn. And just respect, because as long as you do that, the chances of you running into a problem like this go down to zero. As Bitcoin's value appreciates, I can assure you we're going to hear a ton more stories like this, because most of them, they prey on social engineering skills. I mean, this guy was literally tricked. He didn't do anything until, you know, somebody duped him into downloading a fake piece of software, and that's where he got hit. So once you learn to, like notice these red flags, and you know your brain is automatically filtering them, then, you know, the chances of you becoming a casualty of such a mishap, you know, gets drastically reduced. But this will come with time. I mean, it will come with time. First of all, you have to be willing to understand that this is a problem, willing to sit down and learn, you know, some basic skills. And anybody can do this. This is not reserved for, like, the geek squad here. It's, you know, 8 billion people can learn basic computer skills, because now that it's tied to your sovereignty, to your wealth and your well-being, you know, it's not optional anymore. This is, I think, something else that a lot of people are having a hard time with, is that it used to be optional using a computer. Now you have to pay attention to it, because if you don't, your alternative is government money. And that comes with, like, a nightmare like the world has never seen before. So, I mean, that's really what I have to say about this. But I don't like reading these stories. I don't like hearing about them. And here at the Bitcoin Way, we really go out of our way to teach people, you know, as many fundamental basic skills as possible, so that hopefully, you know, they can use that knowledge, pass it along, and train those around them as well, so it helps spread the word quicker.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people tend to assume in the cybersecurity realm, for people who don't operate in that space, is that that attacks are typically highly technically sophisticated. It's like the smartest people in the world who are attacking you. And so you just need the best tech stack to try preventing them. And there is truth to that in certain instances, but many times it's simply a guy in his basement who tricks you into trying to be helpful, do something useful. That's what social engineering is. It's manipulating the human element in order to force action that is going to ultimately hurt you. And so the first line of defense needs to be upping your awareness of these sorts of threats and making sure that you don't fall victim to, you know, in this case, it may sound advanced, like he sent a link to a site that he controlled, but that's a pretty easy thing to spin up, especially in the age of AI. It's easy to copy and paste over someone else's logo onto that site. And there are a host of tools that make it easy for you to, you know, to plant malware on someone's machine if they're the ones who are clicking it and downloading it. And so start with the human element, make sure that you're protecting yourself, you're being very thoughtful about these things. But then also on top of that, there are some incredible cybersecurity tools at your disposal that you can use to block more technical advances. Greer, do you have anything you want to add to that? Because I want to ask Tony too a little bit about some of the technical protocols that people might consider.
It sounded to me like he had kept his seed phrase in his Google Cloud or his iCloud. And I think for me, anytime I'm generating a seed phrase, you know, I'm going into a room that has no camera, no laptop, no phone. I don't want anything recording me. You know, you have to hide under the covers when you're copying down your seed phrase and then ultimately putting it somewhere safe, like on a metal plate. But this is awful story. And it really could happen to anyone. The key is that these photo apps, they can scan your photos and look for 12 or 24 words. The same thing is if you give them access to your Google Drive, you are totally at risk if you are making a digital copy of your seed phrase. So my advice is, you know, go into a room that you know you will not be recorded. And I think this is only going to increase as the technology advances. So hide under the covers, you know, write down your seed phrase and then start working on a permanent backup.
Yes. So in this is something that's a great point, Greer. You need to be especially paranoid. Don't be muttering the seed words out loud while you're punching them in or anything. Like,
exactly.
Don't take a picture of it so that way you can read off of it. All of these things are complete vulnerabilities to that make you susceptible to this sort of attack. So Tony, at the Bitcoin way, one of our offerings, we've got two in particular, I think that might resonate with people who are thinking about these attacks. We've got our privacy phone service because many people are operating increasingly on a phone, but also our personal cybersecurity service to help you lock down your computer. Could you describe what some of the functions of those tools are and why they play into this overall sort of personal cybersecurity plan?
Yeah, of course. I mean, first and foremost, let me iterate that even the best protection in the world will not protect you against a social engineering attack. So if somebody tricks you, then you can have, you know, the most locked down armor plated, you know, cybersecurity setup. But if you go ahead and, you know, override it by, you know, being tricked, then that story ends in the way it ends. So just keep that aside. But however, you mitigate these risks by understanding some of these tools. And the cybersecurity services that we offer shield the device that you're using from, I'd say, over 99% of cyber threats from even reaching you. So, you know, it involves multi-layered VPNs, privacy DNS servers, firewalls, all of the geek stuff, advanced stuff, always running 24/7 on these devices without you having to do anything. They're just configured and activated properly, and they just keep most of the junk away from your device. You won't even have to deal with it or see it in the first place. That's one. The other one, the privacy phones, well, that, you know, shields your device from spying on you. Like, you don't have to worry about, you know, big tech with all its telemetry and all its, you know, background activities going on. There's none of that on these phones. These phones run an open source lockdown operating system that we lock down even further. Every app that you put on it doesn't talk to the other app, doesn't even know what other app is on the phone. You know that for 100% certainty. It's verifiable. The level of granular settings and configuration that you can do on these devices is unrivaled. No Apple or standard Android device comes remotely close to what you can do with this. And you lock these devices down with, you know, those personal cybersecurity set of services running in the background 24/7, and you've got yourself like one hell of a Jason Bourne device. So these tools are available. Okay, they're not inaccessible just because you don't have a tech background. You just need to learn how to use them. And the steps to do so are not that complicated. I mean, you just need a good teacher that'll break it down to you. And once it clicks, you'll be doing this as if it's the device that you've been using your entire life. Step one is being aware that you have options. Step two is understanding that this is not reserved for like the elite squad or the Jason Bournes of this world. Any mom and dad can learn these steps, and a lot of them are doing so. More so these days, especially, you know, you lock down, you understand Bitcoin, you know, you take it to the next step, cybersecurity. That's usually where these things come in. But fundamentally, everybody's IT skills need to be upgraded, at least to a higher minimum, so that you don't become victim or susceptible to all of these tricks, because that's all they are, is tricks. And now with AI, these tricks are going to get harder to detect. That's the problem, is that if you fell for something, you know, 10 years ago, well, you know, that attack vector has gotten, you know, sophisticatedly more creative, right? Because now AI is behind it. So you build the skills, you end up seeing, you know, the red flags, no matter who's throwing it at you, whether it's an AI or a human being. I mean, certain things, they stand out almost immediately. You just have to have the training for it. And that comes very quickly. It's just, you know, you need to be open-minded and want to learn something new. And once you get over that hurdle, which is usually the main one, then everything flows.
Yeah, that's well said. So let's shift more to proper self-custody, because there are so many things at the Bitcoin way that we refuse to do that many, you know, view as just very normal. It's common practices. And so one of them, as an example, are all of the hardware wallets that we recommend and support are air-gapped. And that means that it never plugs into an internet-connected device. And I think this is a great illustration because that you're, if you've got your seed phrase stored on a hardware wallet and you plug it into a device, it could be malware ridden like this particular machine that this individual, this victim experienced. A lot of people will say it's overkill and it just doesn't matter. You know, the risk is low. But our view is, why would you risk generational wealth plugging a device with your seed phrase into an internet connected device? It just doesn't make any sense, especially when there are good options. So, Tony, why don't you talk a little bit about that? And then Greer, I'd love for you to chime in as well.
The reason most people I find are very flippant with this is because they don't, you know, value what they have, you know, monetarily. Like if you have X amount and like if you lose it, it's not the end of the world. You may not have the mindset, you know, that we're describing here, that OCD mindset. But what you don't understand is that in Bitcoin, the value is not what you're looking in front of the screen right now, like fiat price. This is not where the value is. Bitcoin's value, if you're going to measure it in dollar terms, is exponentially more than you can possibly imagine, because that's where, you know, eventually 8 billion people are going to FOMO into. And since the supply is scarce, you can't make more of it. Well, you can only guess how high that that number will go. But that's not what this is about. This is about, you know, it's freedom money. It's about not having to ask permission from, you know, organized crime, so to speak, to use, you know, what you slave for day and night to make, to accumulate, right? This is your time and energy on the line here. And so you want to be OCD, obsessed with protecting it, because you're not going to get your time back. Every moment you spend, you know, out there, you're not going to get it back. Like nobody's getting any younger. You can't reverse time. So all that effort, especially if you got a family, you have to preserve it somehow, right? And Bitcoin was created to give you the power to do so, but you need to learn how to use it. And OCD is probably an understatement. Like people tell me, oh man, you're over the top. I'm like, I don't think I'm over the top enough, because once you understand what it is that, you know, you're trying to protect here, especially for your kids, you know, like you'll be upgrading things every 5 minutes if you could. I mean, at least that's my mindset. And so again, it's about unlearning, you know, old habits, understanding that what we have today is real, because some people still don't believe it's real. They think, oh, one day something's going to break or the government's going to stop it. You know, the same stupidities circling over and over again. More education is needed. Once you pass that threshold, that you understand that this is not going away, that you literally cannot stop it, then you start to panic, like, oh shit, how do I protect this? How do I get more of it? Once you get to that stage, you understand why you cannot be OCD enough when it comes to this, especially now. People are all getting all excited about the number go up, breaking all-time highs. Like for me, this is like the dumbest thing to get excited over. In fact, you should be like upset that it's going up. Why? Because now you can't buy as much of it as you could have when you were still lingering around, you know, doodling and wasting time. So the higher the number goes for those that have been holding Bitcoin for a very long time, yeah, these guys might have a reason to celebrate. You, Mr., you know, playing around, you know, wasting time that has nothing, you should be crying. You shouldn't be celebrating, because now, again, you have less Bitcoin to earn, less Bitcoin to accumulate. So that's a long conversation, man. There's a lot to unpack here, obviously. But bottom line is Bitcoin is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It is your one and only opportunity to a free life. If you don't own your money, you own nothing. You are literally, again, somebody else's donkey. And if you read the news, depending on where you are in the world, I mean, it's pretty much the same across the board. But these people do not like you, okay? These people are creating systems to destroy your life, to make you their slave so that they can live for free at your expense. These are the parasites that you are feeding every day you ignore Bitcoin. So, yeah.
I think one way of maybe framing it is that having $125,000 of purchasing power in self-custodied Bitcoin to me is far more valuable than having $1 million of fiat in a bank. Because what most people are doing when they look at that is they're only evaluating purchasing power today, never mind in the future, but also they're devaluing what it means to be able to use censorship-resistant, permissionless money. And I think that's just, that's like a, it's a whole mindset shift that many people need to take. Greer, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on sort of the load time preference nature of the topics here we're discussing.
Yeah, it takes time, I think. If I go back to the beginning of my journey, you know, in 2021, I remember purchasing off an exchange and I thought I was good. You know, I've got Bitcoin and I felt like I'm doing the right thing. And then I started seeing people talk about self-custody, cold storage, how they slept at night. And the next step I took was downloading a digital wallet and moving my Bitcoin from the exchange to a digital wallet. I thought I was good. You know, I've now got control of it. It's on my device. I can log in and see the value. What I didn't understand is I need to move it from my digital wallet to a hardware device. And that probably took me a couple months to really get that through my head. You know, we've been doing this for years now, so it's easy for us to kind of forget the steps that people might go through. But it did take me, 2 hours. I had to carve out time on my calendar. I had to sit down and watch tutorials. I had to learn how to move it from, I think I was using Moon Wallet or Blue Wallet at the time, into a cold card. That was the first one I purchased. Once I did it, and you know, I finally understood how people were able to share memes about sleeping like a baby at night. And it took me, probably several months to get to that point. What I needed to learn was all the things that the Bitcoin way offers. You know, I understood that Bitcoin would be generational wealth. I understood that it would be the key to my financial future, but I didn't understand the steps required to make sure that it was going to be free from hacking. So I think that, if I was going to be talking to anyone just today, as you guys know, it's like the hardest thing to get someone to understand what Bitcoin is. But once they get it, once they've spent the time understanding it, there are a series of steps they have to go through. I think that's why it's great to have a partner. There are tons of resources out there. I was essentially learning on my own. But you know, you're not done. Buying Bitcoin for the first time does not mean that you are good. You have to move it into self-custody. You have to run a node and confirm your own transactions. So the journey is not not one that you can ignore any of the pieces. In order to become truly free and self-sovereign, these are the steps that you have to go through. I think it is good though to tell people it's not going to be something that you're going to get immediately. Because Bitcoin really upends so much of what we've been taught and what we've learned. So I think having a partner to help you is critical for anyone who's just starting out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And that's why I was a client of the Bitcoin way before I started working with the team, because I didn't have the skills to do this with the confidence that I felt I needed. The longer I've stuck around, the more I've hung out with Tony, the more I begin to appreciate my comment earlier about having a much smaller amount of purchasing power in Bitcoin and self-custody being so much more valuable than fiat that you'd have to keep in a bank. And I'd draw attention to some of the topics we've been discussing just the last month on Bitcoin Banter. We've got digital IDs rolling out in many Western countries. We have the director of the FBI talking about censoring social media. We have withdrawal limits in Spain. There are so many reasons you need to make sure that you are protecting yourself, your data, your wealth, and you can't be relying on some third party and hope because FDIC insurance or my bank account's never been shut down or whatever your reason, it's a bad one. I can assure you, you need to take ownership of your wealth, your information, your devices, and responsibility to learn these skills. I think that is maybe one of the most important things that I could, bits of information and wisdom I could impart on anyone operating in the 21st century right now. Like treat your information and your wealth as though it's worth 20 times, 100 times more than it is, because someday it will be. And someday you won't have the off-ramp to get out of the old system the way you do today into a better system. Tony, do you have any follow-up to that, or we can sort of head for home here?
No, man, that's really to push the point home that, you know, the entire legacy system is a lie. I mean, this is something that we've been duped, you know, since the day we were born. You know, there's nothing creative about the fiat world that is beneficial to you. It's not money. No matter what company offers you what service, at the end of the day, dollars, euros, that's not money. That is worthless paper. So whatever amount you make of it, you are making it in vaporware. in shitcoins. It has zero value. The only reason why people don't understand this now is because everybody's been duped. And so there are too many people that still accept this vaporware as something valuable. It is not. And this is why they're trying to convert this garbage into programmable garbage, that central bank digital currency, where now you have no exit. At least as of this conversation, yes, they're making it much more difficult, but at least you can still exit. Soon, if you get stuck in that programmable money of theirs, you're done. So please pay attention and please, you know, pass the message around to those that are still wasting time thinking, you know, life's a joke and everything will be okay. Nothing's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be the farthest thing from okay. And you don't want to live through what I lived through. And unfortunately, it seems to me that a lot of people are going to get a taste of it in one shape, way, or form. Very sad to say. I don't like saying this, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. Greer, any parting comments before we wrap up?
This has been great. I think for me, the part about getting a secure phone is critical. You know, we all take for granted that we're using iPhones or Androids and really ignoring the fact that we're spied on by apps, by advertisers, by the software itself. So I think, as I mentioned earlier, like this is a journey to self-sovereignty. That has to be a key part of the journey. So, you know, I think the cybersecurity piece, it might be complicated, but if you have someone who can help you through it, similar to buying your Bitcoin, moving it into a self-custody wallet, reach out to the people who you know you can trust, and that's their mission.
Well said. All righty. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I think this is an important message that everyone needs to hear, be reminded of. My sense is there are a lot of people who have been in Bitcoin a while and have gotten swept up in the excitement of, you know, the treasury companies, SBRs, all the things that, you know, make the headlines, but have maybe lost sight of the importance of these topics. No one is immune to attack. So be vigilant, get your Bitcoin to self-custody, protect yourself. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit more about the Bitcoin way. We would love for you to schedule some time with us to learn more. And we'd love to be a part of your journey, helping you protect yourself in all of these vectors that we've discussed today. So, gents, good chatting. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.